Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On Air with Russell of Hotels, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to On Air with Russell of Hotels, where we talk about everything hospitality, from hotels to influencers and everything in between. We will feature guest interviews with hospitality professionals who will share their experiences. Your host, Russell Edmond, has spent over 25 years in the hospitality industry, beginning his career with Marriott International in hotel operations, before getting into the sales arena and becoming a relationship-building director of sales and marketing. Russell then went to the other side as a hospitality entrepreneur. He now consults in the hotel and meeting space, which includes being the CEO of Russell of Hotels Group. Did I mention he was a veggie foodie? Yes, Russell is always looking for good non-meat eats. Please welcome your host, Russell Edmond.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels live radio show. I do appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to hang out with us for a minute, and I do. And I also appreciate Mr. Amani Roberts for being a guest on our show.
Yes, sir. I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
No, I appreciate you. You know, I'm gonna bring you in a couple minutes. You know, formally introduce. You know, get all the credentials out the way and things like that. Because you know, you're big time now, man. I remember when you first came on the show. You know, not that you weren't big time, but now you've blown up and I'm gonna get into all that. I'm not even gonna get into that now. But anyway. But I want to thank everyone for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. We are all about connecting people and collaboration and hashtag hospitality unplugged. What the heck does that mean? Mm-hmm. Hashtag hospitality unplugged. It just means, you know, in the hospitality world, I can say whatever I want to say. But just because you can say it does not mean you should say it, right? But we try to not necessarily push the boundaries of hospitality. But if there's some things out there we need to, you know, I think need to get done or maybe need to get addressed. And, you know, I may say a couple of things about it, but it's all in good taste, all in good fun. It's all about improving, you know, the industry that we love so well, and that's the hospitality industry. And Monty's no exception. He was in the hospitality. We still in it, but yeah. he was a GM. He was a director of sales. He was all this kind of stuff. And guess what? He gave all this stuff up to do something else, right? And, but you're going to find out what that something else is. But we're going to get into it in a minute. But on a personal note, before I get into, because normally I get into industry news and things like that, but just on a personal note, you know, the last week, 2 weeks have been, you know, a lot of stuff going on. And this is stuff personally in my life, not, you know, things that are going on outside. And, you know, definitely there's a lot of stuff going on outside as well. But we lost my mother-in-law last week. So I just want to give Miss Bertil White a shout out for that, AKA the Grannis. I mean, her real name is Bertil White, but I called her the Grannis. That was the nickname I gave her, because if you saw pictures of her and you can see the attitude and everything that comes along with it. There was no other name I could give her other than the Grannis. So I do appreciate everything that you did for us and the family. So thank you, Grannis, and rest in peace to her. Also, I want to send out a couple shout outs just to some other family members that kind of lost their lives this last week and tragically in motorcycle accidents. And that's, you know, that's, man, I mean, that was a tough pill to swallow for two of them. But I just want to send a shout out to family, cousins, Miles Mack, and to Wes Davis. okay, who both, like I said, tragically lost their lives in the last week. So, but anyway, thank you so much for that. Allow me to do that. We're show number 61. Who would have thought show number 61? I mean, I know, you know, Monty's looking over there. He said, I don't even remember show 61, but yeah, that's a nice little milestone.
Congratulations. You should be proud.
You know what? I am, because I remember you and I had talked about this, you know, going on, I don't know, 2 years ago or whatever, almost 2 years ago, about doing the show. And I just remember you asking, well, you know, what are you going to do? How are you going to do it? You're asking me all these questions. Mm-hmm. I'm like, wow, I never really thought about that stuff.
And look at you now, 60 episodes later, 61 episodes.
61 episodes later, it's all happening. So, but I thank you so much for just advice that you gave me and that you continue to give me. You know, even if I ask for it, if I just listen to your shows, and I always get, you know, pieces of information or nuggets of information, that, as we like to say. So I do appreciate you being you're a trailblazer for me, right?
Well, so, you're welcome.
And I do appreciate that, because people have either started or about to start podcasts. They thank me, and I said, well, hey, I got to give homage to Monty, because he's the one that got it started for me. So I do appreciate that. So, but industry news, hotels are beginning to reopen, right? So we got CVBs are bringing people back on. I mean, nothing, of course, not to normal levels yet, but things are happening. Things are slowly getting back to where, not 2019. I'm always going to compare things to 2019 levels, but are we there yet? No, we won't be there for a minute, but it's good to see that, you know, hotels are reopening. A lot more promotions going on and things like that. So that's when you can tell that things are about to happen, when, you know, there's more promotions going on, midweek specials, you know, they're ramping up for things that are coming up, maybe the summer or whatever. You know, and I've always said the last couple of weeks that we're going to see more activity in markets, you know, less in group and all that kind of stuff. That stuff is not happening because we don't even know what the protocol is, how many people we can have for some things like that. I mean, I think we kind of know, but who's going to want to jump in and have a full on meeting? I don't think so. But look for the leisure market. And like I said, I call it the drive market or the staycation market. I even came up with something. It's called Drive Nations. It's called Drive to Your Destination, Drive Nation. So it's, you know, that's that kind of drive market. We call it, in the hotel industry, we call that a drive market, meaning, say, 2 hours from your destination, or two hours from your original city that you live in. And then, like, for LA, it would be, you know, Santa Barbara, San Diego, Palm Springs, you know, those areas like that. So look for that. Look for promotions and things coming from those hotels. But like I said last week, let's start booking direct. Okay. So this is a time that we can, I'm not saying, I despise or I don't like the OTAs, but this is a time that for us to just go directly to the hotels, because you're going to get the best deals from the hotels. I hate to say it, but I don't hate to say it. I mean, it's the truth. That's where that hashtag hospitality unplugged comes in. Okay. I ain't afraid to say it. Bottom line, hotels don't make money when it comes to, you know, booking through OTAs and things like that. OTA would be at Expedia, hotels.com. OTA stands for online travel agent, just in case you did not know that. But yeah, so book direct or use your travel agent. What about local, you know, John and Mary down the street to have a travel agent? Why don't you go through them? I mean, that's even a better thing than going through the OTA. And especially John and Mary at the travel agent would probably know a little bit more what's going on inside that hotel as far as, you know, cleanliness, sanitation, new sanitary sanitation standards and things like that. Although I'm going to tell you that as well, because that's what, you know, On Air with Russell of Hotels does. It gives you information about what's going on out there. So anyway, so that's it. But as always, do your research. What's open? Restaurants, beaches, campgrounds, RV parks, gas stations, stores. Because people are not just keeping it local. I have a friend that's going back to the East Coast. She's driving her and her family to the East Coast. So, you know, those are things that she had to check. Just to make sure, first of all, if you leave California, are you welcome to go to other states?
Right.
That's one thing. And then second, what's open? You know, you got to plot out. These days, you got to plot out your path, and just to make sure, you know, things are open and, you know, you can get the services that you need and things like that. So what do you think about that, Imani?
I think, I like that you said go direct. So I think that's a good suggestion. I think that the whole 2-hour time slots from where you're living is good. And like when you think about states that might not let you in, I'm thinking of like Hawaii. When you get into Hawaii, like you have to be under quarantine for 14 days before you can even go out to the public. So it'll be interesting to see how different states kind of open up. Some states like Texas open up really, really quickly and now are having to scale back because they had like some more outbreaks. So this is all new ground for us. So let's kind of wait and see.
Yeah, I agree. But what is Marriott doing? Okay, so Marriott and both Monty and I started our career with Marriott, and they're always on the forefront of everything, right? So they came up with a global cleanliness council. Mm-hmm. Basically, it includes experts in medicine and public health to aid and supplement their reputation of cleanliness and hospitality. So they're trying to basically, they're taking control of the situation, and they want to make sure, or taking control of the narrative and making sure you know that when you go to a Marriott property, you know, they've consulted with the experts on what they should do in order to open up these hotels from a, you know, health perspective or CDC or what type of sanitation that they're using and things like that. And I have some information about that. You hear about that, Imani?
I heard a little bit about it. I don't, I think anything that they're doing is really good for the industry. So I just want to see more details of what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And you know, the really interesting case, they will be what the hotels in Vegas do. Like I know the Wynn Hotel was one of the first hotels to come out with kind of their status and what they're planning to do. So, you know, just really to see what other hotels besides Wynn do. And then just how the other big brands do, and then what changes they make along the way.
Yeah, exactly. Everything, yeah. When Vegas starts doing things, yeah, you definitely have to pay attention to them because Vegas is not in the business of losing money.
No.
They want to make sure they're, you know, if it's going to be a first to open, it would be those Vegas hotels. So, yeah, so that's a good advice. Check out what's going on with the Vegas hotels. But guess what? I do have a little bit of what Marriott's doing. So deeper, more frequent cleaning. These are, you know, rooms and throughout the hotel. Enhanced cleaning protocols, disinfect your space. Less contact and more connection, meaning more mobile technology, mobile key, mobile dining, e-folio delivery, which is your stay or your invoice. And instead of going to the front desk and have them print it out, they'll email it to an email address that you have on file and request via Bonvoy, which is their rewards program. So a lot of information on that as well. So my suggestion would go to, you know, MarriottHotel.com if you're planning on staying at a Marriott and just to see what the new things that they're doing. I happened to call because I was concerned about valet parking because Cheryl, who was my guest last week, you know, she demands valet parking wherever she goes, right? I said, well, you know, the experience is going to be a little different. And I said, let me just call the Marriott here at the airport, just ask them if they have valet, if it's open. And it's not. So they're only doing self-parking at the moment. So just make sure you check, you know, like you're going to check for all the other information. Just check to make sure the, you know, what the parking situation is. So you know before you even get there that, okay, well, there's no valet parking. So why would I wait for valet? You know, if you just want to unload your stuff, that's fine. But, you know, there's plenty of self-parking out there. So there you go. And that will change as things get better, you know, things like that. But, you know, your experience that you had 3 months ago is not going to be the same experience that you have now. So just keep that in mind and, and keep the attitude at home. Okay. Because, you know, the people that are working, they're going to be doing their best to make sure that you have a great stay. I mean, and the experience is good, whatever experience they can give you. But just remember that, you know, it's not their fault these things are happening, right? So it's not on them. I mean, they're going to try to make it the best way, that make the experience as positive as possible. So just be mindful of that, if you would. Deep cleaning your room, removing non-essential high-touch items that can't be disinfected. I'm sure pens and pieces of paper, maybe even water bottles. I'm not even sure if those would even be in the rooms now, or maybe if they're sealed. But glassware, I would think maybe that'd be one of the things. I mean, you can sanitize that, but, you know, will that be in the rooms? I think the shower gel that's in the shower that you can dispense, I think that's gone. I think it's going to go more to the back to the individual, you know, the things that you can open, the containers that you can open, because they're trying to get away from that because it's a cost saving measure. But now, you know, you're not thinking about cost, you're thinking more about safety and security, because you don't want to leave. You don't want to leave home with nothing and go to a hotel and come back home with something. Okay.
That's a problem.
Yeah, exactly. So hotels are, you know, taking that extra step to do that. And like I said, Marriott is always in the forefront of that. And, you know, we look for more stuff going on, but it all goes back to what I said about 3 weeks ago. Housekeeping is going to be sexy now. Everybody wants to be in housekeeping now. They want to see housekeepers cleaning. They want to see more touch points being cleaned because that's what the guests are going to ask for. I mean, that's what people are asking for. So when you go in, you're going to see people cleaning more than you would normally see in a hotel. You're going to see more housekeeping people. You may not see them in your room because they're going to cut out the amount of, I guess, traffic into a guest room, right? So you check in and they won't clean your room until you check out, right? So if you need towels, of course, they'll give you towels and they'll put those outside your door. But I pretty much would say they're not going in your room unless for some reason you ask them to. So just going to be a limited of touch points, if you will. And I've been talking about that for a while. So there you go. That's enough on that industry news stuff. Are you repivoting yourself? Are you reinventing or pivoting? You know, we all kind of have to do that. And I'm going to jump on Monty in a minute because he's pivoted himself. Just, I mean, he's like James Worthy in the paint pivoting, you know.
Good reference.
Is that a good one? Is
that
a good
one? I like that one. Yeah.
Oh, boy. The best way to predict the future is to reinvent it. So, you know, if it's not happening for you, maybe sometimes we just got to go out and make our own way, if you will. You want to be creative, and this is the time to be a creative. And a creative is basically an entrepreneur. So, and I got that word or that term from the guy that I'm about to interview. Okay, so he didn't think I stole some of his stuff, right? But anyway, contact information. How do you get a hold of Russell Fotels? Russell@russellfotels.com. That is my email address. Twitter, Russell of Hotels. IG, Russell of Hotels. LinkedIn, Russell L. Edmond. Facebook, I have two of those, and that's Russell L. Edmond and Russell of Hotels. And my website is russellofhotels.com. I just got an email here. Somebody, oh, I forgot to say that. I did send him a notice this morning, though. Today's my brother's birthday. How can I get on this darn show and not wish Stacy Allen Edmond a happy birthday? So, and he turned, it's a milestone. I'm not going to say how old you are, but it's a milestone. I just say he's older than I am. So that's what I say. But happy birthday, big brother. We do appreciate everything that you do have done for our family. So keep it going. He's down there in Blythe, and I'm sure it's hot because it's hot here in L.A. It's probably, I don't know, it's got to be 90 or something. So if it's 90 in L.A., it's got to be 200 in Blythe. So there you go.
Very warm, yeah.
So stay inside. So after the show's over, it becomes a podcast. So, and it's on whatever popular podcast platforms you listen to. It's on there. Russell, On Air with Russell of Hotels. So check that out if you are in your car going somewhere and all that stuff. Okay. I won't go into that. Quick shout out to Miss Michelle Carlin, Alignment Advising. I don't know why I can never get that right, Michelle, but thank you. I'll say it again. Quick shout out to Michelle Carlin, Alignment Advising. She sends out a monthly newsletter, right? So okay. She sent out one today, and I just wanted to just mention that on the show because I think it's the first one. I think it's the first one I received, Michelle. So thank you. Transforming Your Communication Through Active Listening. That's the name of the topic. And if you want more information, just go to her website, alignmentadvising.com. Quick congrats to Stefan Freeman. He's the founder of Venice Beach Tea Company. Now, I've known that Stefan for like almost 20 years, right? He had a background in, he was like director of something for Pepsi, for Coca-Cola, for, I can't think of the other company, but I know they do like Jamaican, ginger. They do like ginger beer and all that kind of stuff. Well, anyway, he started his own about 3 or 4 months ago. And guess what? I found out about it on LinkedIn, contacted him, and guess who's going to be the guest? Who's going to be a guest on the show next week? Stefan Freeman. So check that out. Venice Beach Company. He has his beverage is in, I think he said 45 stores now. Mm-hmm. So, you know what happens when people come on the show, this stuff blows up. Just ask Imani. I mean, he came on the show last year and man, we're about to get to this. Man. We're about to get to this because I'm wasting too much time here. Let me just, I'm going to bypass everything and I'm going to just thank you to Cheryl Rogers for, you know, being a guest last week.
Congrats to Cheryl. Congrats to her and her new podcast too. Well done.
Exactly. Well done. So I can't wait to hear that and maybe, you know, come on the show and act up a little bit. You know, maybe me and Imani come on the same time and we can act up on your show.
I'd like that. That'd be cool.
So thank you, Cheryl, for being on last week. Congratulations on you and on your brand launch, all about the experiences, and your new podcast is coming up. Today's guest, a creative, which I mentioned earlier, which is basically an entrepreneur. Okay, he does his own thing. He makes it happen. Everything starts and finishes with him. He's a DJ, goes by the stage name of DJ Amro, podcast host. I mentioned he has, I don't know, maybe it has to be 150 podcast shows already.
145 like came out this weekend.
See, I didn't even know, but I knew it had to be about 150. Mm-hmm. Yeah. His podcast is called The Imani Experience. He's a professor at Cal State Fullerton, an author, DJ Means Business. One night behind the turntables can spin your company's success. What the heck does all that mean? Okay, well, we're going to find out. But so coming to the mic now is Mr. Imani Roberts. Thank you so much for coming to the show. Thank you.
Hey. Thank you for having me back for a second time. I really appreciate it. I'm excited to be here.
Well, you know, when you came with the book a couple of months ago, I'm like, dang, this would be good for him to come out on the show and talk about the book a little bit. And I mean, just talk about the stuff you've been doing. I mean, I know you've been, and I'm not sure, had you been on the show prior to the gig at the being a professor? Were you on the show before that?
Yeah. So what happened is that I was on your show June 25th, 2019. So it's almost a year anniversary. I believe at that time, I was still in the editing process of the book. I had just finished up my second semester of being a professor at Cal State Fullerton. And so, because we had talked about kind of the activities I put the students through with the STAR report.
That's right. Well, that's good. So, okay. Let's jump into the book a little bit. So what was, you know, I'm sure everyone asked you this. What was the inspiration behind the book?
Right. The inspiration behind the book is for a couple of reasons. First is that I want to still be known as more than just a DJ. And so one of the ways to do that is you could become a thought leader in the space. So one of the ways I decided to become a thought leader is to create a podcast. So I did the podcast. I've had that going for now for almost 3 years. And then the book idea came up. And I wanted to, in addition to becoming a thought leader, is to really tell people and share with people that DJs are very complex individuals. We're much more than just button pushers. We have to quadruple task. We're up there on the turntables, figuring out what song we're going to play next, mixing, talking on the microphone, reading the crowd, making sure the club owner is pleased, all that. And I just wanted to also, you know, use the book to get additional speaking opportunities just like this. And just kind of spread the word about my brand and kind of keep that going and grow as a person, write a book, see where that leads me. And then it's also another, you know, revenue stream, if I'm being honest as well.
Yes, I could understand that. Well, this is great. So was it 2 months that you came out?
Yeah,
with the book?
The book came out, was released April 14th in the middle of quarantine life. It was released April 14th. We had a book launch. I want to say that following Thursday, a book launch. And then now we're just kind of spreading the word about the book, continuing to get testimonials, getting speaking opportunities to talk about the book. I think the Audible version will come out towards the end of the summer. And that's where we are with the book.
Good. Because, you know, I tried when I downloaded it. Thank you for showing that. I want to make sure when I did the promotion for the show, I wanted to make sure that was on there as well.
I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem, man. I appreciate you doing these things, man. So I can talk about them, so I can brag about you. So that's what it's all about. So, let me just, and people know I just jump around. There's no rhyme or reason why I ask the questions that I ask. Okay. But I must say this first, and I said this before the show started. I have not read the complete book yet. Okay, I have started it. But I can't wait for the audible version because that's going to be easier for me.
Understood. Yes. You're not the first person to say that. So, yeah.
So, but what I read was all interesting. And I knew part of the story, but it's funny. I mean, I remember some of the story, but just to read it, like, man, this is, you know, from how you started, let's just say when you started being a DJ, what that inspiration was. Just quickly, if you could, like, what was your inspiration to be a DJ? What was that night like?
Yes. So what Russell's referring to is I went to this club in D.C. I'm from the Washington, D.C. area. It was a club that used to be called Quigley's, and it was on 17th and I want to say, the basement of a bank, an old bank. And I went there, and DJ Biz Markie was performing there, and he set the crowd off. It was amazing. He had this, like, 20-minute set where he would play TV theme show songs, tie them all together, and we were singing along with them. Oh, it was amazing. So it was at that night that I decided I wanted to be a DJ, but I had incorrectly assumed that DJing was not a legitimate career, so I didn't really pursue it. I stayed with Marriott. I traveled all across the country, worked for Marriott once I graduated from college, lived in, like, Atlanta, Chicago, Dallas, Miami, back to D.C., L.A. But I would go, when I was with different cities, I'd still go and see DJs perform. I kind of watched them and just stand on the side and see what they did, see how they read the crowd. Saw some of my favorite DJs. When I was in Chicago, I got to see and meet Twilight Tone, who's Kanye West's DJ. And then when I was in Miami, that's when I really got additional exposure, like salsa music and kind of the Latin flair, which kind of really helped to build me up to how I am now. And then once I moved to L.A., One of the many things I love about the city is that something about being here in Southern California, really California in general, is just that if you have some sort of creative endeavor that you're thinking about doing, people really encourage you here to do it. Just go for it. It's something in the fiber of our city, in our state. So I started DJing on the side. Then what happened is I went to Scratch Academy, like I've told you before, went through that whole program, and then just built from there. And here we are. I think now I've been DJing a little over 12 years, almost 13 years, and that's where I am right now. So that's the story, the Biz Markie story in Quigley's. That's where I first looked like, hey, I want to do this. And it just took me a long while to have the courage to go for it.
Okay, now let's take that same thing. When did you realize, and this is part of what the book is about, when did you realize that being a DJ can be a business? Because you said that, I'm sure, like, when we go into different things, you always have, you know, people in your ear, like, and obviously it resonated with you because you said, it's not a viable business, you know, it's just something that you do, maybe a hobby, whatever. When did it click that you say, you know, wow, this really can be a business and I should jump in and do it?
When I was at Scratch Academy and met my instructors who were teaching people how to DJ there, they were traveling around the world, DJing different gigs, getting good money. They were producing music and releasing singles and albums. They were doing all these things that were involved with DJing, making good money, and it was consistent and they had benefits and they were just working consistently. I was like, hold on, I've totally underestimated this, and this is legit, because they weren't just dependent on gigs to support themselves. They taught, they produced music, so they had different streams of revenue. I was like, this makes sense, because even, I remember when I was going to Scratch, even some of my closest friends in life were like, DJing, are you sure? Like, what's that about? That's a hobby. You need to keep your 9 to 5. So I finally had the courage to kind of stop listening to them. I paid attention to what I saw with my instructors. And that's when I realized it. So then I finished at Scratch Academy. Russell was one of the first people to give us a summertime residency. And that kind of was another springboard to be like, wow, I can get a residency and we can DJ, you know, every week something standard. And then you just kind of build on it from there. So going to Scratch Academy, seeing how my instructors were earning revenue and being successful was eye-opening, definitely.
Very good, very good. Yeah, I have to admit that the first person when we were doing I was at Sportsman Lodge, I was a GM then, and we were going to do a pool party theme, whatever, events during the day on the weekends or whatever. I think that's how we started on the weekends. Mm-hmm. And the first person I thought of was Amani. Let's get Amani out here. And I called him, told him what it was, And just so you know, and we're going to get into this, and this is part of in the book, DJs aren't cheap, right?
Yeah. DJs are not cheap, and cheap DJs are not good. Yeah.
You are right about that. You're right about that. Because, you know, what comes with, and this is just something just from my own experience, what comes with a good DJ is that, you know, they don't double book you. They don't, you know, put you out because, you know, I got a better deal somewhere else. I mean, they're professional for the most part, but you pay for the services, right? I mean, that's what it's all about. And, you know, the last thing I try to do is, you know, always ask for a deal. Can you give me a break? Can you do this? Can you do that? Well, I mean, you got to think about it. This is his craft. He's spent all this time honing his skill. He's gone to Scratch Academy, which I don't know any other DJ that I know of that has gone, that has taken, you know, has made you basically educate themselves on being a DJ, right? So they've gone and done that. So I don't know many that have done that. But, right. But no, I do applaud you for that. I thank you so much for what you did for me. And any chance I get, I'm always, you know, somebody asked me for a DJ, I said, call Imani Roberts. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. No one else.
That's right. We thank you. I got to give a shout out to DJ Flossie, who was with me on that gig, who I'm still really close with now. She's still DJing and full-time dentist. So, you know, the hustle's real. I put a quote at the beginning of pretty much every chapter in the book. One of my favorite quotes in the book is, know your worth, then add tax. And so I like that. I like that as a motto.
I like that as well. I'm gonna have to steal that one.
You have my permission.
Okay, thank you. What's the worst thing that ever happened to you as a DJ?
I put a couple stories in the book as well. Maybe like I was DJing a wedding and my speakers blew out at someone's wedding, which was kind of a high profile wedding. That was really stressful, really kind of traumatic. I had to run to the car, get the backup speaker. We had to kind of work with 1.5 speakers for the rest of the gig. That would be a bad thing. Another story is kind of funny. It's kind of not funny. As I was DJing at this one club, this girl gets into the DJ booth. She's like, you know what? Do you mind if I do a line of cocaine while you're DJing on the turntable?
Oh,
that,
wow.
That was pretty wild. You know, of course, I declined her request. You know, she got her out of the DJ booth. Those are two crazy stories that come up right away. But I've seen some things. So those are two that come to mind right away.
Okay. All right. Now, being a DJ, how does that relate to, you know, you running your business?
All right. So that's the whole thesis of the book. It's how a DJ set is very similar to growing a business. So the book talks to you about a DJ set 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. and the different time sets slots in that DJ set, how it relates to growing a business. So for example, if we're, say, at 10 o'clock, 10:15, we're just starting off, just kind of reading the room, kind of opening up, building rapport with the guests that are there. Also, in business, when you first start up, you have to get to know your kind of clients, get to know them, see what their likes are, and then you continue on. We get to 11 o'clock, troubleshooting. Something always goes wrong in the DJ booth, whether it's a speaker going out, computer crashing, dusty needles, whatever. How do you adjust? Or pivot, as I say. I really like that word, pivot. But how do you adjust, but the music never really stops? In business, maybe something's going wrong with your business and you have to make a shift. You have to reinvent yourself or scale back or do something different, but you can never really close up shop. So that's kind of that chapter. I think that's 11 o'clock's troubleshooting. You get to midnight, it's prime time. You know, just keep the hits, hit after hits coming on the dance floor, keep the dance floor packed. Same thing in business. If you're making good revenue month over month, just keep that streak going. You don't want to stop. And that's the prime time chapter. That's midnight. One of my favorite chapters is, I think it's 130, nostalgia. How does nostalgia help businesses recreate themselves? Nintendo relaunched their original Nintendo game system that brought them a boon of sales. Adidas with the Stan Smith tennis shoes does the same thing. I like to play slow jams at the end of my set so I can help people out, let them finish what they came to do, and just kind of, it's fun. People like to sing along, think about when they were younger in high school, college. That's how I work nostalgia in. Then the set's over. There's a chapter on self-care because both in the DJ life and in real life, business life, you have to take care of yourself because if you don't work, this doesn't work. And that's pretty much it. There's a small chapter, a part of a chapter in there on like feedback. I used to drive for Uber. So after I would DJ at the club, I would drive people home that were maybe in the same club. So they get in the car and I'd be like, we're going to go somewhere. And so they're talking. I'm like, so you're at this club tonight. What'd you think? How was the music? And then once they tell me, I say, you know, I was the DJ at the club as well too. And I'm like, what? Oh my God. And it's just crazy. So, you know, I share some stories about that as well. And, that's all there. That's kind of just a really quick synopsis of how a DJ set is really, really very, very close to growing a business.
Wow. Wow. That's pretty in depth right there. I must say so. Why do weddings make you nervous?
Oh, because that is a very, very important day for eight people, because you have parents and two besides the parents and grids, and you can never, if you make a mistake, you can't really go back and fix it. Like, it's done. And so I take a huge responsibility because I want everything to go as best as possible. And so it means a lot to me. So if I care about it, I get a little nervous, and not that I'm not confident, but you know, you just kind of, it means a lot to me. So I get nervous and I just really want things to go well. And I've seen things kind of go askew. So I care. So I get nervous, but we still do a good job. And that's pretty much why, because their stakes are very high compared to if you're in a club and maybe you mess up with a song at 10:30 or 11:30, you can quickly switch out and get over it. But if you play the wrong song at the wrong time at a wedding or do something, you can never get that back. So that's why it makes me nervous.
Wow. Okay. Well, I have to say that, first of all, Kenya Bannister Stamp says hello to you.
That's what's up, Kenya? Thing. I DJed her wedding.
obviously, exactly. She told me that. And so obviously you didn't mess up her wedding because she still has good things to say about
you. Yes, we did well there. That was fun. Yes, down in Long Beach. Yes.
Yes. She told me you did a great job and she wanted to make sure I told you, said hello from her.
Hello, right back.
Yes. What, let's talk about your brand, okay? Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, you got a lot of things going on. You got a lot of moving parts. What's important when building a brand?
I think what's most important is just kind of determining what you want your brand to stand for. What are the services or what you're going to be known for? And then just growing from there, surrounding yourself with like-minded people so that you can get honest feedback about your brand, how to grow it. And then just putting the work in. I think if you're consistent with what you're doing, then your brand will grow and people start to know you. So for me, my brand involves me DJing events all over the world, whether it be club, social, corporate. I produce music. That's part of my brand. And I teach. I teach people how to DJ. I teach at Cal State Fullerton. And then in addition to that, I have a podcast, which I use as mostly marketing for my brand and networking. And then I wrote the book, which is about my brand as well, DJing and teaching and all that. So I think that's what I've tried to distinguish and determine as my brand and just trying to stick with it. And now that I've got it established, just to be consistent, how will I maintain my brand as things evolve since we're kind of in a new landscape in terms of how events are going to be. So how am I going to evolve but still stay true and just keep moving forward? So that's my answer to that question.
Okay. Has teaching helped your DJ career or has your DJ career helped your teaching?
If this was a question on a test and there was an option for C, all of the above, my answer would be C, all of the above. And I'll explain and we talk about that. When DJs have to read a room. Is this genre of music working? Is the crowd feeling it? Are they kind of, is the dance floor energy building? Then you keep with that. When you're teaching in a classroom, are the students understanding the methods of you're using to teach and the subject you're using to teach with how you're choosing to teach it? If so, you keep going and you keep teaching that way. If not, you got to make some changes. You got to make some changes both the day you're teaching and then in lessons that are in the future, because your goal is to make sure as many students as possible understand the concepts, know how to do it on their own so that they can apply it to their daily lives as they're working. And so it's a distinct parallel between reading a room, whether it be on the DJ floor, reading a room in a classroom. Also, I'm, 15, 20 years older than my students. And so they keep me hip on trends. They keep me hip on music that they like, artists that I might not know about, ways to consume content that I might not be aware about, how they perceive certain technology that's popular or not popular. So they keep me hip. I learn as much from the students in distinct ways as I teach them. I'm learning every class they teach me things, whether it be through our icebreakers we do, whether it be through the projects that they choose to complete and the subject that they choose to interview. So it's a classroom both ways. And I definitely learn as much in school while I'm teaching as they do when I'm teaching them, if that kind of makes sense.
That makes plenty of sense. Now, tell me a little bit about the class that you're teaching. What's the name of it? What does it entail?
So Entertainment Money Management, BU80360, we cover how hotels, casinos, amusement parks earn money. We cover how musicians earn money, streaming services, movies, how they all earn money, and the careers that are involved with them as well. We go through the different stages. We start off with hotels. Like I told you in the other interview I did with you a year ago with the Star Report and how that all breaks it down for hotels, casinos, how they earn money, amusement parks. Then we get into music. break down how streaming services pay out the artists. We talk a lot about performance royalties, sync royalties, mechanical royalties, and how to make the calculations. We get really intense into music and then streaming services, how, you know, Netflix pretty much makes all their money off of subscriptions, where Hulu has advertising, live TV subscriptions. We talk about movies, whether it be mid-tier movie, blockbuster movies, how 51% of all movies don't make a profit, how 49% maybe do, but it comes years later when their merchandise continues to sell. And then we talk about different careers. We have guest speakers. We do that. I'm also the co-director of the Center for Entertainment and Hospitality Management at Cal State Fullerton. So we are a resource. We help grow the major there. We help put on different programs, whether it be in person, when we were able to have in-person programs, like Hello Hospitality, where hospitality professors come to the university and speak to the students. Mm-hmm. Right now, we're doing a virtual industry insider, where we interview people virtually and get to learn from them, but also give the students an opportunity to learn about doing live streaming like you're doing here and how to produce and all that. So that kind of summarizes my class and what I do for the center. And that's kind of my world at Cal State Fullerton.
Wow. Well, now you mentioned before, and I knew this before, that you produce music and things like that. Now, if you're a DJ, can you charge more because you do that? If you're playing your own music, how does that all work? We're talking about, you know, making money, DJ and things like that.
I think that it really just helps to make you more valuable. So it might not necessarily be you can charge more for a specific gig, but you have more skills. So for example, if I'm working with a wedding couple and they want a special remix or a special edit of their entry song, I can do that very easily and I could kind of add that as a la carte item. In addition, a lot of DJs just DJ and maybe dabble in music production. What I want to do is I want to follow what the Tribe Called Quest DJ Ali Shahid Muhammad did, where he also is a music supervisor. So he's a DJ known internationally around the world, but he's also a music supervisor where he worked with, I forget the gentleman's name, but he worked with another gentleman and they did like all the music supervision for the TV show from Netflix, Luke Cage. So I want to be the person that as a DJ, you already are a music selector, a music curator. You know all the different genres, what songs might fit with a certain scene in a movie and how to cue that up. That's like the next step for me in my DJing kind of music production career, getting hired by maybe a movie director, TV show director, short film director to not necessarily score their TV show or movie, but be the one who's selecting what song plays at what time of the show for how long and finding the right songs to fit each scene. That's kind of the next step. That's what I want to continue to evolve to. And that's how the music production helps. My music production partner and I, we just released our second EP. So we have two EPs out of original music. We're working on our fourth, which will be out July 7th. And that third EP that'll be out July 7th. And then we're trying to then get into getting stuff placed. We're working on more remixes. We released our third remix album in January. And so it's like, yeah, that's kind of how doing all that just makes me more valuable as a DJ because I can have more skills to help out my clients look good.
Wow. I mean, you've given so much. I guess I can say that you're not your typical DJ here. Can I say that? Can I just go out on a limb and say this? Because, you know, most DJs, you call them, say, hey, man, I want to do this. I want to do that. Okay, what time, you know, they show up? And hopefully they come on time. And that's good that they come on time. And you're hoping that, you know, we get through this night. You know what I mean? Yeah. But, I mean, you got a lot going on. You're sharing a lot more now. And maybe the questions, it may be because of the book. I don't know. But the first time wasn't even like this. The first time wasn't like this.
That's so good. We have different conversations, different days. That's good.
Exactly. And not that I didn't see the passion before in you with DJing and everything, because, you know, I've been to a lot of meetings with you and when you're DJing and things like that. But now, I mean, I see, it's like you, and we talk about, you know, you don't like the R word, the re-pivot or the reinvent or whatever.
Pivot is the word
pivot. The pivot or whatever. But I mean, you're doing it, right? I mean, you're pivoting, you're doing things that, obviously DJs are not, you're not doing a lot of DJ work now. Nothing. Although I'm going to throw in this quick plug for DJ Amro and the Quiet Storm Volume 11 coming up this week, right?
Yes, sir.
Monty does Wednesday nights, 8 to 10. He does slow jams. I mean, he He takes requests, everything. He does it on Zoom. It's on Facebook Live. Am I right?
So I do it on Facebook, Instagram Live. Twitch is the main place. If you go to twitch.tv/AmaniExperience, then you will be able to see it live uninterrupted. And so that's the goal, because one of my dream jobs in life is growing up East Coast, it was Quiet Storm with Melvin Lindsay, or it was Quiet Storm or like Love Songs and Requests with Glenn Hollis, like Wash FM back at DC. That's what I'd love to do. Just sit there in the radio station, have people call up, say, hey, you know, this is Megan. I want to make a dedication to this certain person and play this song. And I help them find a song and just help them out. That's the dream. I would do that every day of the week if I could. And so I'm just recreating that. And doing that on Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Pacific, for a couple hours and just having fun. Because really, it's very therapeutic for me. Once we got stuck inside with shelter in place and quarantine, I had to do something to kind of, you know, get going. And then you look at it, and that was maybe 10, 11 weeks ago. So 11 weeks ago, I started. In 11 weeks, I've learned about live streaming. I've learned more about Twitch. I learned about what cameras you need to know, what lighting you need, how to share it with all these different platforms. So now I can take these skills. And I shared it first with my students at Cal State Fullerton. So we do a similar, we don't do a love song show. We do a live stream show on Fridays. Usually we interview industry executives. And now I'm teaching them how to do it so that they can build skills. I'm doing that. I helped out MPI. We had a couple of programs with that. At Fullerton, we did a virtual graduation. So because of the fact that I decided to do the Slow Jams, I learned some new things that I had no idea about before. I'm able to meet more people who are doing it. I can learn from them and network with them. And then I can apply the skills to my business. So as we get back to what they want to call normal or how our next iteration will be, I have some more skills in my toolbox I can use to assist my clients and to grow as well.
Wow, that's that was the P word, Amani. Okay, you're pivoting. Okay, just in case you didn't know, but that's right. What it is. But no, right. That's, man, that is, I'm so happy for you, man. Because like I said, I can see the passion. The passion is there. I mean, it's just a lot of it's a lot of fire, man. I mean, and that's what it's all about, right? Is loving what you do and not listening to anybody, man. And, yeah. And that's the thing, because a lot of times we get caught up in what other people are saying. And instead of just listening to ourselves, say, hey, you know, regardless, fail or succeed, whatever, it's going to be your decision. You're going to do it, right? And that's what being a creative is taking 100% of responsibility for it. The heck with what other people are saying, because you're always going to have negative people or naysayers in one side of your head telling you things. I'm glad that you did that.
I think there's no doubt that I am quite scared about how the future is going to be for my DJ business, because there are no events. We don't know when events will come back. It could be 2021, mid 2022, but I can't really just sit back and kind of just dwell on it. I have to figure out something to stay busy. You have to try new things. And as my friend Judy Holler says, you're going to either succeed or you're going to learn. So either I'm succeeding or I'm going to learn. And then we just kind of keep moving forward. And they're always, and I still have work. Like there was one of my friends that was calling me up or talking to me the other day that was kind of boohooing one of my ideas. And, you know, you just have to be careful who you surround yourself and who you listen, because I'm thinking about this second book idea. And so it's exciting. And I'm just kind of working on some of the details. And like you say, they're going to be naysayers, and that's okay. Like, you know, thank you. Just keep it moving. But, if there's some people that are in the arena with you, that are right there with you, and they have some feedback for you, maybe you need to work on this or that, then I'll listen to them because they're in it with me. But if there are people who are chirping in your ear that aren't doing it just along with what you're doing it, man, I don't really have time for that. So, you know, you definitely want to just kind of keep moving forward. And it's even harder now with what we're going through now with both the pandemic and Black Lives Matter. Like, we have to acknowledge what's going on, but we still have to figure a way to move forward because the time's not going to stop for us.
Exactly. And I'm glad you brought that up. Yes. Hashtag Black Lives Matter. They do matter. So I do appreciate you saying that. We're on with Amani Roberts. Actually, we're winding down, man. It's 1:50 already. And just all that good information, good energy is going on. I need to have you on this show more often.
Hey, I'm always down.
Do you remember I asked you to do a show together and you're like, what are we going to talk about? What kind of show? Remember that?
Well, yeah, because you wanted to do a show where we would do it together every week. which it's still possible. Now that I know what I know, it's still possible. But this is a good, you know, this is a good lead up. You know, let's just keep doing these. This
I'm just joking, man. You know, I got to put you on the spot. Okay, I got one last thing to add. Let's see. Can I get this one in? I probably can get this other one in
you
first.
You get two before. In, yeah.
Okay, all right. Just, you know, I've been going over my time, man. And my producer looking at me like, man, what are you doing? You're pushing the envelope. Okay. What is possible for a DJ in today's business environment?
What is possible? I think there's a lot of things that are possible. I think that events will come back. So events are still possible. It's going to be delayed. I think that virtual events, there are ways for DJs to definitely participate in virtual events. I think that's possible. I think that, you know, producing music is possible. I think there's a lot of things that are possible. I've shown just the tip of the iceberg, but, you know, partnerships with other brands, you know, because a lot of DJs can be curators for different brands that help them select the music they want to have in their stores, the music they want to have on their websites. There's so much to do. You know, like I was speaking about music supervision, that's possible for DJs, you know, just kind of picking the music that's going into not only TV shows and films, but video games. Like, that's a whole other area that's possible. There's so much out there that I think that as long as we continue to open our mind and share success stories and brainstorm together, I think that there's a lot that's possible out there.
Cool. Okay, listen to this, all right? No one's dancing. You're the DJ. No one's dancing.
Yeah.
What go-to song? What's that one song everybody regardless?
Go-to song. It depends on who's around. It used to be you could put on a Michael Jackson song and that would do the trick.
Yeah.
With kind of all the, I don't know if it's true or not true, but all the attention he's gotten, some people aren't feeling Michael Jackson anymore. So that's a little challenge. But I would still say try a little Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
You could always try some classic, you know, hip hop, whether you put on... trying to think of, like, you can go throwbacks like MC Hammer. You can do like JJ Fad, Supersonic, some old school hip hop. Salt and Pepper works very well. Salt and Pepper works well. You can do old school funk, like you can put on the Bee Gees, Staying Alive. You can put on maybe even some Madonna might work. So to see what your demographic is and look at them and kind of look at their ages and see what would bring them memories of their childhood or in like high school, maybe college, put that on. For some people, it could be Yeah by Usher, that popular song. That works very well. Also, Rapper's Delight is one of my favorites. Sugar Hill Gang, people like that, you know. And then maybe Sierra, 1-2 Sep with Missy.
Okay.
Those are some good ones. You could, depending on the crowd, if you put on a line dance, the Cupid Shuffle or something, that works as well too, because people always love the line dance together. No matter what race we are, people know their line dances. So that's just a couple things I will share with you real quick, because it's always different.
Okay. All right. All right. I got one more question. This is the last one. Okay. You're at Quigley's nightclub in DC. And you're the DJ.
Yeah.
Biz Markie is in the audience.
Mm-hmm.
What's the first song that gets played? What's the first song that gets the party started?
And Biz Markie is in the audience.
Biz Markie is there.
I can put on Just a Friend by Biz Markie. That works very well. You say he's just a friend. Oh, baby. Get the crowd to sing along. I do that as a tribute to Biz Markie and then go into maybe some popular songs and go back and forth from what's popular now to what was popular then. I might try that at first, see if that works, and then kind of maybe put on, because, you know, he's real type of Big Daddy Kane, people like that, and see kind of what works from there. Or just, you know, OJ's I Love Music. He would respect that. I love that song. That's a great song. One of my DJ friends played that the other day. So those are two options I think I'd throw down and try it out. You know, either I succeed or I learn, but there's no failing.
There's no failing. Okay. Yes. All right. I like that. I like that. And the one thing that, and I didn't know, I remember you said you met Biz Markie or you were at Quigley's when he was playing. And to hear him play, and I mean, I was just reading this, him playing, the thing that got you was him playing all the theme songs from a lot of TV shows.
Yes.
I thought that was a long time ago, but that probably was pretty dope back in the day. I mean, that would be dope now.
It was back in the day, and you're of this generation, when it was like you put on songs like The Golden Girls, What's Happening, Different Strokes. You put on the theme for like Knight Rider, Miami Vice, like all different shows that we love, Fat Albert, all these different shows that we like, Sanford and Son. and they just dropped them off, just boom, boom, boom. And we're singing along like, you know, this was when I was at Howard. So this is like pretty much 99%, you know, black people, African-American people. He puts on the song The Golden Girls, and we are all singing along. So, you know, we like that show too. And so it's great. Thank you for being a friend. That's all. He put on the facts of life. You know, you take the good, you take the bad, and there you are. Facts of life. I mean, I could go different strokes. Well, the world don't know. I mean, you know.
That is crazy. I know that was crazy.
It was amazing. I'll never forget that.
Oh, wow. Well, that's good, man. I'm glad we got a chance to hang out again, man. I appreciate you taking the time and coming on the show and just giving us a little more knowledge about, you know, the DJ business and how it is a business. And you guys need to check out his book as well. I mean, definitely. DJ Means Business, One Night Behind the Turntables Can Spin Your Company's Success.
Yes.
So
yes.
Monty Roberts is the author. So yes. I have it. I have to finish it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And I will.
Please finish
but
it.
But I did read it. I will, Monty. Don't worry. Don't worry.
You can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, Apple Books, Kindle, like Russell got it. And I just want to say, you know, thank you for having the show again. I appreciate it. Congratulations to you for getting to 61 episodes. The average podcast show lasts 7 episodes. So you're well beyond that. And so I'm just really...
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. Yeah, yeah. I'm very proud of you. And I just want you to keep going because you're providing a great value for our hospitality community. And, you know, just the what you're doing shows that if you put in the work, good things will happen. Many people don't want to put in the work, but you're showing. You're a living example. You put in the work. You said, how do I do this? How do I do that? You did it. You've had 61 shows, which is no laughing matter. So just props to you, and I just want you to keep going.
Well, okay. Since you said it, then you gave me that stamp of approval, then I don't have a choice. I mean, how many shows can I get somebody on to sing? I mean, there you go. I mean, that was worth getting the 61 right there. I never heard you sing before. So,
you know, I was inspired. You brought out the best of me and inspired me. So I just said, you know what? I'm just going to sing. I don't care if I'm on key or off key, but, you know, I know the words.
You were on key. You were on key. You knew the words. Okay, let's just say you knew the words. I don't know about what key you are on. But, hey, how's the real before we get out? Mm-hmm. How's the piano lessons? Are you still playing the piano? You still practicing?
Yeah, yeah. Like it's that? Funny. If you check out my Instagram today, I put up a little post of me practicing. So I'm still doing the piano. I can't tell you how this has taught me discipline. Just practicing like 5 or 6 days a week. It's really, I'm getting better, which is very inspiring because I'm a slow learner with the piano. I'm really struggling with reading the notes playing at the same time. I'm getting better. Now my instructor, who's also my remix partner, is teaching me like 2-5-1 with Bossa Nova, which is a pretty complex combination, but I'm getting it. It might take me a little longer, but I'm getting it. So I practice usually every morning. I did this morning. I put up a little clip of me doing this new exercise with 2-5-1 on one hand and something on the other hand. So it's really helped me out a lot. My goal is to keep going because, like I shared before, so my mom, she passed away from Alzheimer's and it runs on her side of the family. So I want to do whatever I can do to make sure my brain still kind of stays active. And piano is one of the best things I can do. Piano and like dance classes are one of the best things you can do. So I'm going to be doing piano. That's going to be a part of my daily routine as long as I can get on there and play because it's really helpful for me.
Wow. Very good. Very good. What a good tribute to your mom as well. That's good. Yeah. I love that. All right. And with that, let's get off. But thank you so much for joining On Air with Russell Fotels. Thank you so much again, Imani Roberts. And please feel free to jump on Imani Roberts' show as well and check out what he's talking about. Like I said, he's at 145 shows. So I'm very proud of him as well. Like I said, I do emulate a lot of stuff that you do, and I do appreciate that. So, but thank you so much. Anything I can do, always, you know, reach out to me, man.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But anyway, you guys take care. Thanks again for joining On Air with Russell Fotels. It's 1:59. I'm going to be on time today. So with that, we're going to say goodbye, and I'll see you next week. Thanks again, Imani.
Thank you for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. Please tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. as we talk to other hospitality professionals. Your feedback is important. Email Russell at Russell at russellofhotels.com with any questions or suggestions. Until next time, try not to be a person of success, rather become a person of value.